because I was looking, going, there's all these different versions. Yeah. I'm like, going, okay. But why this specific, this version of it?
It's funny because when I was still, I would say maybe like just starting high school, some friends turned me on to the blues. And
wait, how does someone in high school,
you know,
in Canada,
yeah,
from Toronto,
yeah,
go, hey, you know what? Here's Black Sabbath, but you know what? We're gonna put Black Sabbath a song. Here's the blues. Here's B.B. King.
Yeah,
how is this related?
I think it's just because, I started taking piano lessons since I was 7 years old, and then or when I started getting into high school, I had an amazing teacher, and he's the one that turned me on to other genres of music, not just your typical pop of the day, the top 40. And blues was one that stuck with me for some reason. Still to this day, the band I play in, Shotgun Shack, we're a blues band. And it just, I don't know, it's simple. The words are simple. The music is simple, but so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular version was just by chance, it was the first and only version I knew of it for so long. So I remember, I still can picture it. I remember, and this shows you my age, I remember taking this out from the library, taking out the album. I found this B.B. King Live at Regal album. I signed it out and, took it home and fell in love with it instantly. Still to this day, it's one of my favorite blues albums to listen to. And the one track that really stood out back then, but even now, or more so now, I should say, is The Sweet Little Angel. And you know, the live version is amazing because you can hear the reaction from the crowd, you know. And, you know, B.B. King, I was lucky to see him twice. Once, the first time was at Massey Hall. And to this day, one of the most powerful performances I've ever seen of any live musician. And, you know, you definitely see why they call him the King of the Blues.
So this is a catalyst for you to go on in your music career? Like, this is something inspiring that someone turned you on to then?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, the music, it turned me on to the blues and potentially other genres of the day. Because think about it, rock and roll is just the blues sped up. But as I grew older, it wasn't so much the music or his, let's say, his guitar licks, which are unbelievable. Was actually the lyrics, right? And that's one thing. Like growing up, maybe it's because I'm a musician, and I listened to the instrumental first, and lyrics were kind of second seat to it. For me, it instantly reminded me of my wife, and even before we got married. I call her my angel, and we actually have it inscribed. Like, she has, I have an inscription on my ring, and on her ring, in the inside says my angel. And so I think of this song instantly, and, you know, it puts me in a good mood, right? I'm thinking of my wife, and there is actually a few verses.
Is it hard to pick for you? What verse?
It's very, yeah. It's my favorite verse is when he's speaking these words. There's like shot notes, and he's saying these words, and the audience is going nuts. And he says, "I asked my baby for a nickel, and she gave me a $20 bill. I asked my baby for a nickel, y'all, and she gave me a $20 bill. I asked a little girl for a drink of liquor, and she gave me a whiskey still." So, you know, and kind of dates it back, right? You're getting $20, but, you know, but like, that's back then, that was a lot of money. And just, you know, he puts it so simple, right? But the everyday person can relate to,
right?
You know, this next verse is more this is what the connection I make more with my wife, and now the loving, nurturing, comforting relationship that we have. And he sings, I've got a sweet little angel baby. I love the way she spread her wings. I got a sweet little angel baby, and I love the way she spread her wings. And when she wraps her arms around me, she bring me joy and everything. Yeah, she do. So, yeah, all right. Very comforting.
Why don't we spin that right now?
Perfect.
Sweet little angel, BB King, live from the Regal here on the 3 for 30.
Remember that one. Thank you. I'd like to tell you a little story now, if I may. A guy singing about his girlfriend, and he calls his angel. Of course, that's the sweet little angel. But let's think about a guy that loses his girl.
All right, the final artist is the Foo Fighters and the track These Days. Nice pick, by the way.
Yes.
That was Foo Fighters are one of the artists that I have for my 3 for 30 that will never come out, by the way.
Okay.
Because I can't make up my mind on any of this stuff.
I know, it's hard.
Yeah, but you chose These Days from the Foo Fighters. What's the reasons behind that?
Again, this is more of a recent, I mean, it's one of the newer songs on my list, but, you know, it just hit home with me, you know, still to this day when I listen to it, you know, just again, going back to, you know, my mom being diagnosed with brain cancer, struggles with it for 6 years, and now has passed away for 3 years. You literally feel the floor drop from beneath you. And, you know, it's something that, you know, and not just this example, there's other examples I can give, but, you know, just when...
there is a thing, though, with the music with you so far. Well, what you said about in the first song, Just Breathe, and tying it in back to this, it's connected to your mom as well.
Yeah.
Like, that, I mean, that is something that... That doesn't... it doesn't really... Not all memories can be separated to each particular song.
Exactly.
But it's a feeling, too.
Yeah, you know, I was battling over it in my mind, saying, you know, maybe I should go with I Wish You Were Here from Pink Floyd. But I think that one, it's just a little too specific. It's still a good track that brings memories to me, right? Where These Days to me is not only that memory, but just... day to day, like understanding, be grateful for what you have, because at any second it can be taken away from you. And you know, and we just got to concentrate on the good things that are going on in our lives. Dave Grohl says it best, one of these days the ground will drop out from beneath your feet. One of these days your heart will stop and play its final beat. One of these days the clocks will stop and time won't mean a thing. So, again, very powerful, straightforward, and it puts everything into perspective. You know, it doesn't matter. You can be on a high and, you know, loving life and, you know, be financially secure.
Right.
Spiritually fulfilled and you know, in a great relationship, and then something can happen. It's just that quick sometimes.
So just be grateful for what you have in the moment.
Yeah.
That's a good choice. Well, Frank, thanks for taking the time out of your day to share this with us. And right now, here's These Days from the Foo Fighters here on the 3 for 30.
broadcasting across the Steel City. This is 101.5 The Hawk.
CIOI
101.5
The Hawk.
Turn your lights down low and pull your window curtain. Oh, let your moon come shining in into our life again. Saying, ooh, it's been a long, long time. For you, girl, but it seemed I was never on time. Still, I wanna get through to you, girl, on time, on time.
Wow.
I want to give you some love. I want to give you some good. Yeah, I want to give you some good, good loving. Turn your lights down low. Never, never try to resist. Oh no.
Nah, nah, nah.
Oh, let your love come shining in.
Nah, nah.
Every 3 minutes and 30 seconds of every day. And every chorus was written for us to recite.
Right.
Every beautiful melody of devotion every night. This potion might, this ocean might carry me in the wave of emotion to ask you to marry me. And every word, every second and every third expresses a happiness more clearly than ever heard. And when I play them, every chord is a poem telling the Lord how grateful I am because I know him. The harmonies possess a sensation similar to your caress. If you asking and I'm telling you it's yes.
Yes, yes.
Stand in love, take my hand in love, job bless.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
I want to give you some good, good loving. Turn your lights down low.
Right now.
And pull your window curtain.
Right now.
And let your love come tumbling in.
Right now.
Into our lives again.
Said right now.
Yeah. Ooh, it's been a long, long time.
Yeah.
I got this message for you, boy. But it seems I was never on time. Still, I wanna get through to you, boy.
Yeah.
On time.
Right now.
On time.
Right now.
I want to give you some love.
Why? Yeah.
Why? Oh, I want to give you some good, good love.
Can you hear me?
Good.
Some good.
Good. I want to give you
right, right now.
I wanna give you something. Yeah.
Right, right now.
you have ever been in love? I know none of the guys gonna raise their hand, but how many of y'all ever been in love? But I know none of the guys been in love. We don't get in love, right? Oh, let this black man right here tell what his idea of love is. Because now all the time we hear young black men talk about love. About your personal definition. Don't tell me what Webster thinks.
Willing to do everything.
Huh?
Willing to do everything for that person.
Okay, everything like what? Explain. Let him talk, come on. If I asked him to talk about a fancy car, he'd be right on point. But we want to talk about love. You can do it. What do you think? You said you love somebody. You should know why you love them, right?
Okay, sure. Okay, they with their boys, hang with their boys, whatever, and they just stand out. It's like sometimes it don't even matter like what they wear or what they look like. It's like that way, you know, you know that you want to talk to him because he stands out. It's like you got a glow or something. That's deep. That's what I'm talking about. I thought that was a beautiful point. Anybody else want to deal with that?
And sometimes, like, when they try to act funny in front of their boys and they get around and they say they love you, they can't love you. Because love wouldn't do that.
It's more to love than that.
Love is not funny.
You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario. This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Move.
Hey, after a long day of interviews, I've finally come to the pinnacle of interviews for my day today. It is. It's the pinnacle. He's laughing, but it's the pinnacle. Today, I chatted with my old friend Mike Keir from Threshold Recording Studios, and he was such a chipper guy to talk to. And Ricky Butcher from Sons of Butcher. I mean, what a guy. Every song has an F-bomb in it. Just an absolute F-bomb in it. Actually, his new album's called F of a Thousand Fs or something. I'll never be able to play that on the show. You know, it's been a wonderful day of those type of interviews, and I thought I was doing really well. And then I thought, hey, what better way to cap off a day of interviews than talk to Hamilton's curmudgeoned dark rhymester? Can I call him a dark rhymester? Am I allowed to do that?
Sure, man. I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Sure.
It's one of our oldest, dearest friends of the radio show, whatever incarnation that I have it in, whether it was Sounds of the Hammer or whatever stupid show I did at C101, Indie 101, and now The Hawk, which is now Steel City Music, the /website/radio show. Lee Reed. Hi, sir.
Woo! Hey, Gunner. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I was, you know, just as we were recording, I was telling you, I'm not going to piss and moan about my life because there's so many other people that are in tough spots. I'm lucky enough that I'm old enough where I've experienced a lot of really stupid things and I can adjust, you know?
Yeah.
So I will be okay. How are you doing is the bigger question right now.
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. I'm the same. I can't really complain about my life. I was able to continue working, so.
Right.
Oh, pardon me. So that's been, pivotal.
Right.
How everything's working out for me. I really miss music, and I miss, practicing and playing, and it kind of derailed all of that part of my life, but all said and done, I'm lucky, healthy.
Sure.
My loved ones are all healthy and everyone's doing okay. Some people have got some career in work kind of derailing going on, but really, by all accounts, feeling lucky and, just glad that my loved ones are too,
I'm happy to hear that because you and I have been trying to hitch up and have a chat. And on all seriously, over a year, there's been messages back and forth. You're like, hey, we'll give you a call on this day. Okay. Oh, no, I can't call you. Let's do this next week. And I was just like, okay, that's cool. And then I'm just like, I'm going to talk to him. Because he has to be quiet now. Things have to be dying down. It's pretty quiet for everyone right now. And I wanted to talk to you about Murder Hornet Landlord. It was a five-track EP that you put out. I believe the release date was in July or back in
July. Yeah, it was the end of July.
End of July,
That's right.
And you were going through you were going through some you can hear it in the EP, but there was a lot going on around you at the time. You were being like the ever social activist about people's homes and gentrification and stopping, people from like there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, and it sort of led into this pandemic with the coronavirus, and it's put a lot of people's lives in danger here over just nonsense. And you penned this. It just seemed to go with the current times. And I was wondering, did you write most of this before all this nonsense was happening, or during, and then put it out?
It's very influenced by what I had been doing up until the pandemic. I'd been doing, like you said, a lot of housing and tenant organizing.
Yeah.
And right out the first couple of months of the pandemic, there was quite a push with a group locally called Keep Your Rent that I was helping with.
Yes, I remember that.
The actual album was penned in April and May, and then it was recorded in June, and I put it out in July. So there was, I guess it's possible parts of it came in in March, but it was all written during the pandemic. There was a song that I had in mind that I'd written pretty recently that was about landlords in general.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was going to be on there, and it ended up not. So the five songs that are on there, yeah, they were all written while in sort of the first phase of when it was really like nobody even knew where it was all going in that sort of period, you know?
Yeah.
Like mostly May and June was probably the latest, but yeah, started in March and finished it about May, June.
Night killer hornets invading the U.S. and Canada. Also known as murder hornets. They reportedly kill up to 15 people in a matter of hours. Experts desperately trying to track down those dangerous hornets and stop them before they kill off much of the population.
Flatten the curve, man, fatten up my curb. Check bills, kills, two-third my work on the first again. Mama's purse hurt, can't afford no purchases. Birth the hard work, the dirt still certain. Scratch the surface and make them all nervous. How the fuck they ever gonna get us back to work again? Back to serving them dollars and sterlings, and back to collars round neck for paychecks. Tonight at 6, market's still cornered. There's more reports of the swarms of the murder hornets. Cops and borders, they lock on coordinates. You're in accordance, or else you get deported for it. We can't afford to get infected, but check this. States say that it can't afford to keep us tested, man. Wash your hands and spray your disinfectant, and rock your mask and keep your fucking distances. They said it's fine when the world was on fire. What a fucked up time to be alive. Post-truth news cycle die. They boosting Facebook Live at baby's first food line. Pie to power of five, that break a 1-9. COVID coronavirus is live. Second wave waiting at the side. They say the paper don't lie. The contagion will thrive. They making eyes at apocalypse shit. They get their news from the YouTube and Fox and shit. They look for truth, but then consuming the opposite. Lucy goose with the proof they been offering. Part reports and it's part prophecy. Russian bots in the Cold War hot again. Whole world gotta bend they soul to the big black hole in the center of the thing we don't mention. The pen's dead, but the internet is mightier than swords, but not nuclear war or a fighter jet. They said economy never gonna be right again. The virus behind and front and to side of them. They writing guides on how we gonna survive it. What a fucked up time to be alive. System on fire, insisting that we die. We Facebook Live at baby's first food riot. Can't decide why we live in the negligence. Misdirecting it, mixing up the messages. Shop till you drop, but get kicked off the premises by cops with weapons, state interventions. And get to stepping, cause it's a pandemic, kid. Saving every fucking dime for the mission, kid. What a fucked up time that we living in. What a fucked up time to be alive.
Right, dude. And it's so strange because you never had a chance to really promote it or do the normal things that you would do when something comes out like this.
Yeah, yeah, that was a really strange part of it, right? Like, I couldn't really do a show or anything. I could have done, I suppose, some sort of, like, webcast thing, but I've not had good luck with that, to be honest.
Right.
I've enjoyed the process, but, like, as somebody that obsesses over how all that ends up sounding, yeah, and looking and stuff, I'm always like...
I was going to ask you that, because when this started, I was talking to a lot of people, and I had been a part of some webcasts, that sort of thing, right when this pandemic started. It was like a big pivot, and even I had my I was getting kind of flinchy about the whole thing, because to me it's like it's the show, it's the sound, and then I'm watching someone, and it's, I know they're just looking into a camera, but they didn't, yeah, how can you find a connection with someone, right? To,
yeah.